RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to Jayco.com.
And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are reporting back from the Florida RV Super Show, our very favorite RV show of the year.
2 weeks ago, we fled the frigid temperatures of the Northeast and hightailed it to sunny Tampa, where we enjoyed touring an amazing variety of RVs and shopping for camping accessories.
We also got to meet tons of podcast listeners and enjoyed the talented and quirky entertainment that visitors always find at the Super Show.
Listen to hear our top six takeaways from the show, plus tips for exploring the Tampa and St. Pete area from a local expert.
You might think that every RV show is the same old story, but we know that the Florida RV Super Show takes it to a whole nother level. You are listening to episode number 127, Greetings from the 2017 Florida RV Super Show.
Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, we have a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com or visit them at the
Thetford was at the Florida RV Super Show. Now, I wouldn't go there looking for him now, Steph.
No.
Because I think they packed up their booth.
2018.
But they had a really nice display, and they were selling lots of products, and we kind of dived in during our Facebook Live that day to say hello and check out some of their stuff. They had really good prizes going as well and a really cool giveaway. What were they giving away? Some of their key products.
Yeah, if you like entered the giveaway, then you got, first of all, a sample, right, to walk away with, like the Tossins, which we've been talking about, the Aqua Chem Tossins. We've used them since we had the pop-up camper.
It was one of the very first RV products I ever bought, and
yeah.
I sort of religiously used them. I personally love the Tossins because they're clean and simple and easy.
Right. And then we were talking to experienced RVers at the Florida RV Show, and they were like, oh, we've never used them. We've always just used the liquid. Maybe we'll give them a shot
or
now.
Or like the powder. But either way, you know, I like the Tossins.
Right. It's like, it's so funny because we don't use that for the dishwasher at home, like those pre-packaged little things. We don't use that for the laundry machine here, but we use them in our RV.
It's kind of fun to toss them into the toilet.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
It's like a bank shot.
Make a little game out of it.
A little.
But they were giving away a smart tote, too.
Right.
They had some really great prizes. They had a fun booth.
Their most popular, I think, you know, items that they were giving away as the prizes for that. So they had the first place was the big Smart Tote 2LX. They had the second place was the Titan Sewer Hose Kit. And the third place was, I love this, a bucket of TP, a Protect-All, and a 10-foot sewer hose. A little welcome to the RV club.
Now, Thetford's pretty much just about any RV show you're going to go to, any of the big ones anyway, so look for them. All right, we're going to be back this week with RVFTA Live, and we got all of your emails and your outpouring of support and your brokenhearted letters because we didn't do it last week, but we were on a plane flying home from Disney World. So this Friday we're back, and I'm really excited to be back.
Yeah, nobody would have wanted to watch our Facebook Live up in that plane with us. That would have been expensive first. Can you
Mom,
buy?
Dad, can I go to the bathroom?
Can you buy Wi-Fi on Spirit Airlines?
I had to take the boys to the bathroom when the sign was up that said you couldn't get out of your seat. So I walked back and said, can I take my kids to the bathroom? And she said, it's up to you. That would be at your own risk. And what she didn't know is that taking our kids to the bathroom is always at our own risk,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, we live life that way.
So what are we talking about on this week's RVFTA Live, which is 3 p.m. Eastern Time?
All right. So, of course, we can chat about our last two podcast episodes because we didn't, right? We didn't talk about the towables versus motorized, and we have gotten some letters and comments and everything on that episode. And we didn't talk about the RV kitchen and dealing with special dietary needs on the road. So if you have any comments or questions about those two podcast topics, this is going to be a great time to talk about it. Of course, we both have been gathering our own little collection of hot topics to bring up also.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people realize that we were at Disney World, mm-hmm. at Fort Wilderness, and we are putting together terrific content about Disney, Harry Potter, and Fort Wilderness, but that's going to be next week. We're backed up on content because we had a really exciting, adventurous trip. This week on RVFTA Live 2, we'll also go over some current industry news and make a kind of a variety show.
Absolutely. So also, we want to remind everybody that the Atlantic City RV Show is now the very next place that you can stop in and say hey to us. February 17th through 19th, we are doing 3 seminars a day. We're busy.
I think we're doing 4.
4 seminars a day.
On Friday and Saturday, we do 4.
Yeah, so we're going to be busy. So make sure you look at the schedule. And if you want to say hi, come to a seminar. We can chat after.
Yeah, and the seminars are at gsmedia.com, and we should post them, too, at some point, too, so you can see the exact seminar list. And we're going to do a happy hour if we have any podcast listeners there or any friends at the show. Where are we going to do the happy hour?
Yeah, so we have – on Saturday, we have our last presentation at 5, okay? So it's going to be about an hour long. And then at 6, we can head over right in the Sheraton Hotel there, which is right attached to the convention center. It's called the Shoe Bar. It's nice. It's just a little seating area, nice room for everybody. We can all have a drink there if anybody wants to chill out, relax, and say
hi. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, why not?
I'm excited to be heading back to the Atlantic City RV Show. It's a great way to spend a cold New Jersey weekend in February. All right, on Campground of the Week this week, we're kind of pairing that episode with this one. We're reviewing Fort DeSoto, the campground at Fort DeSoto, which is a great option for a place to stay if you're visiting the Florida RV Super Show. It's about 40 minutes away, but it's drop-dead gorgeous, and a lot of people do actually stay there and then go to the Super Show.
Right. So we are going to talk, obviously, about the ability to camp at the Super Show. But then some people stay off-site at Lazy Days, campground. And we're going to talk more about that campground later because we did a nice old tour of Lazy Days and we're super impressed with that.
Yeah, we're going to do an episode on the Lazy Days campground. Yeah. I mean, Lazy Days experience.
The experience altogether.
I meant to say campus.
Yeah, campus.
Like the Google campus, the Lazy Days campus.
Yeah. And then, but this is like another option, right? Say you want that really just beautiful Gulf, Florida in January experience. This is going to be a 40-minute drive, but if you're only going to go to the Super Show for 1 or 2 days, hey, make that 40-minute drive back and forth, go to the show, and then camp in one of the most beautiful campgrounds we've ever been at.
To book 5 days or a week at the Fort DeSoto campground and then go to the RV show once or twice would be an awesome week.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
So
week.
Definitely go over and check out the Campground of the Week episode and think about whether that might work for you.
Yes, and we have a new post up on the Go RVing blog on the Scenic Route, and it's about our time at the Florida RV Super Show, which is such a fun carnival-like show, which we're going to talk about during this episode. But you could also go and read that Go RVing post to see some pictures and just kind of get a feel for how much fun we had there.
And I'll link to that in the show notes.
And congratulations to everybody at the Florida RV Super Show for breaking an attendance record. They crossed the 70,000 mark for attendance.
And I think the word smashed was used in a couple of different news items about it. They smashed their records because really the numbers, even on a day-by-day basis, were so high for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They had so many people on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday that it didn't even matter that huge storm blew through on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday was not a good weather day.
No.
But they had such great attendance in the previous days that it didn't matter.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what the numbers would have been if Sunday had been beautiful weather like the rest of the time had been.
All right, we're going to come back in a second. We're going to do segment one, and we're going to talk about meeting and greeting our podcast listeners, which was so much fun. And then segment two, we're going to talk about 6 things we learned about RVers and RV culture at the Florida RV Super Show. Then segment 3, we have a great interview with Courtney Parrish, who is a real insider in the Tampa St. Pete area. And she's going to just give you all kinds of travel tips if you do decide to make the pilgrimage to the Mecca of RV shows. She's going to tell you what fun things to do, what great places to eat. Stay tuned for lots of great content. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our first segment about the Florida RV Super Show, and we want to talk about meeting and greeting our podcast listeners because that's really kind of an exciting part of the experience for us. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Campgrounds of America.
We love following KOA on their social media channels, and we want to talk about how much they love to share camper photos and videos over on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Now, if you want your photo to be shared, you need to use hashtag KOA Camping. And they do share lots of visitor photos. It's lots of fun. And you see KOAs from all over the country. If you follow their feed, you're going to get a real flavor for the 500 KOAs that are out there.
Absolutely. And I really give them a two thumbs up for that because their social channels are dynamic and very interactive. They're very happy to see campers at their campgrounds. So also, I want to say that one camper gets randomly selected every month to win a $50 gift card.
And it's a camper that shares using hashtag KOA Camping.
Yep. Right? So you have to use that hashtag, and then out of all the people that use that hashtag, they pick one random winner for a $50
gift
card.
That's really kind of quite an honor to be the camper of the month.
They say they name it camper of the month, yeah. So I don't know if a crown goes along with that or if you have to pass along the trophy.
So all kinds of fun to have on their social channels. Now, Stephanie, what do you love about following KOA on social media?
Yeah, my favorite thing. I love the fact that they're doing those food videos and everything. Like those are – I can watch them and then like you watch them like a million times. I mean, obviously these are really popular out there. The whole world is loving these food. But like they'll do the little campers and sleeping bags that are really made out of like fruit roll-ups. And it's adorable and I'll probably never make them, but I like watching the videos.
KOA knows that great food and great camping go together.
Yes, they do. So they focus a lot on those. So you can go over and follow them on Instagram mostly, I think, to see those food videos. So to find out what's behind the yellow sign, you can visit KOA.com.
Absolutely. Now, we love meeting our podcast listeners, and we're not just saying that because of your good looks, your intelligence, your generosity. We're saying that because you're really a diverse and interesting bunch of people, and you're not just not all of the same mold. I mean, this is RV Family Travel Atlas, but all of our listeners aren't people Stephanie and I's age with kids our age.
Twins plus.
I mean, we have listeners that are retired. We have listeners that are young dating couples that don't intend to have kids. We have everybody listening to the show. And we also have a really nice kind of diverse audience ethnically as well. And it's just so nice to meet these people, to talk about their rigs, to talk about where they love going camping. And I really feel like it inspires us to keep making really great and diverse content that covers a wide variety of topics in the RV world.
Absolutely. We were definitely talking at this show about how energizing it is for us to really get to sit with podcast listeners face to face, because we have very generous podcast listeners who send us nice emails. They leave us lots of
friendly... They leave us great iTunes reviews.
Yes.
And those who haven't done it intend to do it soon.
They'll get around to it. But yeah, that kind of generosity of spirit that comes across when people write us notes. We just got a fantastic email today that was just like, thank you, thank you, thank you email. And people are really nice to send
those.
Well,
it was like the email today was one that we got, you know, every so often, if not every week. Like, you guys inspired us to pull the trigger and make the RV purchase. And we do want people to do that, frankly, because it's brought so much joy into our lives.
But there's something different about being face-to-face with these podcast listeners. And we really do say every time that we get that chance, we walk away really feeling refreshed in our, you know, commitment to providing that diverse content. And we don't mean diverse like, you know, I don't know, like lots of different stuff. We just mean covering
every aspect. There's three industries we cover. We cover the RV industry, we cover the campground industry, and we also cover the travel industry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just really nice to see what your interests are and what you're into. Like, for instance, we met Lilani and Chris from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They're A-liner owners. You know, and she joked around that she never comments on social media. You know, we have a lot of people that we communicate regularly with on our social media channels, but then we have thousands of other people listening who we have no idea who you are.
And that's okay.
And it's fine.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
But it's just, to me, it's like, oh, cool. We have listeners A-liners who own A-liners. Yeah. You know, well, I want to make sure we cover A-liners.
Yeah, A-liners are always a vocal crowd because we've gotten quite a few emails from A-liner owners in the past. But the funny thing was, is Leilani said, first off, she's like, I know we're not your typical listener. And I can't tell you how many people we meet that start off by saying, I know you are not your typical listener. But I want to focus on the people that we met at this, you know, RV show to show the range.
We don't have a typical listener.
We don't.
And we love that fact. I mean, we do, because we don't want to just cover family camping topics every week about camping with kids. I mean, we want to do that a lot. It's at the core of what we do. But we want to cover every nook and cranny of these industries.
So Leilani and Chris, like we said, they have the A-liner and they love Florida state parks. That's all the camping that they do. They said they love, you know, the long
weekends.
And don't
love so much the private campgrounds.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They want peace and quiet and big sites and privacy and all that stuff.
Yeah. And the thing that I loved about Leilani was she was talking about this is what they can fit in their garage. You know, HOA requirements. That's why they have it. Her husband, Chris, can stand up in the middle. He's a very tall guy. And she was saying...
And a police officer. We thank him for his service.
And she was saying, oh, this is going to get us through until retirement. You know when retirement is?
That's what you think. Oh, no. He's retired.
14 years from now.
I know. And they're both very planning.
And I love that. So that was really fun. Now, another listener that we met, just to show the range here, is Danielle from New York. Now, Danielle owns a Newmar Class A motorhome.
And she loves her Newmar
Class
A. Oh,
she does. She's very passionate about it. And she camps with her kids in that. Her husband travels a lot for work and mostly on the weekends. So she was, and I don't think he likes to camp that much either. He was a good sport. He was there too, you know, talking all the RV stuff with everybody. But he's not a camper. She is. And so she got herself a Class A and she goes solo with her kids all the time on camping trips. I mean, I think they let, you know, dad come along when he's available.
But she's having big adventures.
Yes. And she's so enthusiastic about this. She's wonderful to talk to. I mean, I just can't say thank you enough to Danielle for stopping by and saying hi. She caught us actually. We were driving by on the golf cart and she like jumped in front of the golf cart to take our picture, like total paparazzi style. So we really appreciate that level of enthusiasm.
We also met once again David and Francine, who actually they used to be A-liner owners. They're from Pennsylvania. They've come to our rallies. They're very fun. They're very friendly. And they were on a really epic road trip, you know, and the Florida RV Super Show was sort of just one stop in this huge, like, months-long journey that they were on. It was really exciting for me to hear about all the places they've camped and all the places that they've been to on this trip.
Yeah, and we had such a great talk with them, actually. And again, this is just why it's so important for us to meet with listeners. They have been on this epic journey in their Class B, and they were starting to come to the point where they were saying, all right, this is getting a little much with the hooking and unhooking of the Class B. They didn't want to tow a vehicle. They love just having their Class B. So they're saying, you know, it was just we wanted to do so much while we were down here and we were constantly hooking and unhooking and that got a little frustrating. So we're thinking about how we're going to do it next year. So again, that's really helpful. Like
feedback. You know, we have a lot of Class B owners listening to our podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do some Class B coverage. I mean,
we have a show that's coming up this month actually on Class B.
It's not an RV that would work for us, but we want to cover that part of the industry. Absolutely. We also met Stephanie from Georgia, who bought a pop-up, and she knows every episode of RVFTA. Like, she knows episodes better than I do.
You said she was, like, quoting you to you.
Well, she was there. She was. She was, like, correcting me with things that, like, I had said.
Yeah, well, you said.
But Stephanie and her mom were adorable and nice and sweet
so
and kind
sweet
people. I said, you can adopt me if you want to. They didn't take me up on the offer. She was there with her mom and her dog. She had two really sweet little dogs.
The wagon.
Yeah. And she's just enjoying the heck out of this pop-up camper that she bought. I think it was a used Coleman pop-up camper. And she's out there having a blast.
Yeah. And she was at that point that many pop-up, you know, campers are at where she's like, oh, it's a little more set up and breakdown than I thought it would be. I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this or how long I'm going to use it. But she's loving the experience.
You fall in love with RVing. A lot of people that buy that pop-up, you fall in love with RVing. You start to use it a whole lot. And you realize it can be a lot of work.
Yeah,
you know, depending
she was like, oh, and I think you know what? It was another thing that has been a learning curve for her. I think she was talking about sway. She was really experiencing a lot of sway with the pop-up.
Stephanie's making swaying motions with her hand.
Well, so that was something that, again, when you're a newbie RVer and everything, these things can feel, you know, a little bit overwhelming, a little bit tricky to deal with, and it's really nice to talk to other people about them and get feedback.
And by the way, everyone out there, head over to the forum. If you have a question, we have a very friendly forum, a no cranks allowed forum. And usually when people ask a question, 9 times out of 10, they get a bunch of useful answers. So don't forget, we have that RVFTA forum as well.
And lastly, I want to talk about Teresa, who this was the second time we met Teresa because she came to meet us last year at the Florida RV Super Show. And we talked for quite a while with her last year. She was in her dreaming stage. She was not an RV owner, and her husband came to meet us. And she said, I've decided I want to do this. I want to be a camper. I want to get a Class B. He wants nothing to do with this. And he was standing there and he said, I want nothing to do with this. Like, I'm here because I'm, you know, coming along with her for the day. I'm not going camping. Well, she came back this year with pictures of her road trek that
she bought.
And
I have to say, sometimes when we meet people that say, oh, I'm dreaming of an RV, in the back of my head, I think, you know, it might take them 3 or 4 years to pull the trigger. Because a lot of people do wait a long time, and we think too long.
Not
but
Teresa.
Teresa pulled the trigger.
So she had her, she had a new to her Class B, and she has taken it all over the, like, she's just been in it constantly. She was so excited. She's having the time of her life. And guess who's in that Class B all the time with her?
Hubs.
Yeah.
Hubs is loving it.
And I don't know. Like, I don't want to overstate it. I don't want to say he's passionately in love with RVing. I don't know. But Teresa seemed to be saying, like, he's into it and he'll come with me.
We hear from a lot of people when they're shopping, oh, my spouse isn't interested. And that could be husband or wife. Oh, my husband's not interested. Oh, my wife's not interested. But we often find out a year or two later that once the RV is purchased, they get into it and they start having fun too because it's infectious. It's a great time.
Yeah, it's a possibility. But, you know, so we have here from the Florida RV Super Show, pop-up owners. We have Class A, Class B. We just met such a range of listeners. And you know what? There's such a range of people and of rigs at the Florida RV Super Show. It just is that kind of place. This isn't, you know, when we talk about some of the other smaller, more local RV shows, you're going to see more of the standard fare of the travel
trailer.
You're going
to see a lot of $20,000 to $25,000 travel trailers.
Yeah, you
which,
are.
Which, hey, that's great. I mean, a lot of us
people
own those.
People buy them, yeah.
We buy them, you know. But the Florida RV Super Show is special because you're going to see little teardrops. You're going to see million-dollar prevosts, multi-million-dollar prevosts. You really are going to see it all at the show and hopefully with gorgeous weather like we had.
Yeah, and so another thing to know about the Florida RV Super Show is that, you know, we met people here last year that were shopping, dreaming, thinking about their next rig. This year we did also. All of the research and the statistics about this show point to the fact that it drives RV sales in the Florida economy for months afterwards. So they're actually trying to track that a little more because so many dealers are saying, like, as we keep track of the leads we get at the Florida Super Show, we find that we're selling to those people later, and that they're buying RVs in the season ahead. So this is
well,
a very
and those
unique...
are smart people.
Yeah.
So think about that. If you're not an RV owner, and we know we have so many people listening that don't own RVs yet, going to the big RV show can be a great first step, and you don't have to buy it there.
Right.
You're going and looking. You're figuring out what you want, what dealer you might want to work with, and the purchase might happen 2 or 3 months later. But that is interesting, and they should track that.
Right, and I think that they're really – I think a lot of individual dealers have been focused more on tracking that, and I wonder if as it gains more momentum as something that may be really a big result of this super show, if the Florida RV Trade Association won't try to kind of capture that.
I mean, look, they're paying for that space at the show, right? These dealers. So of course they should want to know not just what they're selling during those 5 or 6 days, but what they're selling for the next 3 months that's related.
Yeah. And it was just an interesting little industry, you know, tidbit that I came across in a few different places over the last couple weeks after the show. So, you know, that is sort of like taking this big super show and zooming in on the very personal particulars of the people that were there and that we just enjoyed. Thank you so much for everybody that stopped by and said hi.
It means a lot to
it
us.
Does.
And, you know, we missed a lot of people, too. You know, a lot of people wanted to try and meet up and they weren't there that day or they were busy or whatever. We really do appreciate the people that did make the time to do that meet and greet with us. And I'm pumped and excited to do this show again next year. It's become a real highlight for me on our calendar.
Absolutely. Can't wait to be there in 2018. So look ahead at your calendar. We'll put a link to the Florida RV Trade Association's announcement for 2018 in these show notes.
Now, we're going to come back for segment two, and we're going to talk about six things that we learned about RVers from the Florida RV Super Show. So this year's episode about the Super Show is less about highlighting this rig or that rig. I think Stephanie and I are both more interested in, like, what does this show teach us about RVers and about the culture of RVing? So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment three of our episode on the Florida RV Super Show. And now we're going to be talking about six things we learned about RVers from our time at the RV Super Show. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. Elevate your family's road trips for years to come with the Pinnacle Luxury Fifth Wheel line from Jayco. The Pinnacle's hardwood cherry cabinets and trim, stainless steel fixtures, and brand name furniture will take your family's fun to the next level of luxury and is backed with Jayco's 2-year limited warranty.
You can visit your local Jayco dealer or visit jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
And when we did the Jayco tour in Middlebury, Indiana this past summer, we did the tour of their luxury fifth wheel plant and we saw Pinnacles being built.
We did, yeah, that day.
It was impressive.
Well, right, because things that were mentioned just right there in that message, the cabinets, we saw the cabinet shop. That they actually build them there,
sure.
Which is kind of surprising to a lot of people. And then what was more surprising to me was the upholstery shop where they were over there upholstering, like the cushions and everything for the chairs. I don't know. Like I was like, oh.
I recommend everybody take that tour or a similar tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
At an RV manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And Middlebury was delightful. So if you're out in Indiana, head on over to Jayco. Schedule one of those tours in advance.
Now, we have continually said that the Florida RV Super Show is different, right? We're saying this is a different kind of experience than your typical RV show. And we've been to a lot. And we've been to a lot of great RV shows. But the Florida RV Super Show feels more like an event or a festival, like an RV cultural festival.
It feels like the annual celebration of RV culture.
Right.
The annual national celebration of RV culture.
Now, right. So now some people might say, oh, well, there's these events where people gather in their RVs all over the country. Isn't that more of a festival? Well, not really. We don't think. And this is why. We actually think that the Florida RV Super Show says some things about the culture of RVing and kind of draws some of those things out. We wanted to talk about that on this show, kind of take a little more of a different, you know, take a different take on the show. So number one is RVers are always shopping.
Well, and the reason, that's such a huge insight I think we had. A lot of our podcast listeners who came to the show recently purchased RVs.
Oh, yeah, but like, they were back.
In 3 months, 6 months, 9 months ago, they have like brand new RVs, and a lot of them flew to the show.
Yeah. And so this is what people will say all the time at RV shows. I'm not really looking, you know, we're not really going to buy anything anytime soon. Blah, blah, blah. We're just looking. Exactly. They're still shopping. They never stop shopping. So either they're like about to buy a rig or if they just bought a rig, they're looking just window shopping, just seeing what's out there. And that's why I think that in a way, an RV show is a better sort of indicator of RV culture.
It's such an evolution, RV ownership. You know, so many people go through 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 RVs in the course of their lifetime. And I find it fun to go through the shopping. You're not as much that way, but I find it really fun to go through the process of RV shopping, and we can buy more of them in our lives. Like, a home, I don't know. You and I might buy two or three homes in our lives, right? RVs, we might get eight or nine. We're on our third already.
Well, and there's some people that won't. There's some people that will keep that RV forever and it'll just sit in the driveway and be ready for that next family adventure, and they're fine with that. But there's something about the RV culture that really does encourage that curiosity and window shopping, right? What's out there this year? What trends are there? What's new? We have so many listeners who are not interested in buying a new rig, and they were so excited when we were showing them that Riverside Retro fifth wheel, right, on Facebook Live, or when we go into the Jayco Seismic with the raised kitchen and the side decks, and people go wild. It's not because they really think they're going to buy that this year, maybe. It's just, it's cool.
Well, and I think the RV industry is wowing people a little bit.
All right. Well, so then let's move on to number two, because that's sort of number two, right?
Yeah. So number two, there's more diversity in RV selection than ever before. And the last 5 years have been incredibly innovative in the RV industry. And that's both on the large end and the small end. So a lot of the people think of the wow factor. They think of these huge RVs. And that's certainly true. I mean, I'm blown away by some of these 44-foot fifth wheels that I don't think I'd ever buy. But love walking through them. I'm like, this is amazing, right? But it's not just the bigger, more glamorous, bigger price tag items that are wowing people. I think the small end, the small towables, the lightweights, the tiny trailers are also blowing people away.
Right. So one of the biggest stories at the Florida RV Super Show is the Parkliner, right? Everybody was so happy to see the first molded fiberglass travel trailer that is going to be available through Little Guys Dealer Network. And this was in prototype. I think they sold 10 or something like that there. And it was prototype. It might be a little under 10. I think it was 8 by the last time I talked to them, and they had a couple more that they were expecting to sell. But, you know, that just shows that there really is a diversity available. These Parkliners were sitting next to park models that are going crazy right now, and we'll have a show on park models in the future.
I think that the RV industry is listening more to people and responding. And I think that's going to blow up in the next 3 to 5 years. I think in 5 years, if you go to the Florida RV Super Show, there will be real incredible diversity.
And I want to say that we may have some listeners right now that are saying, the RV industry is not listening to me. I don't see design features that I like. I want to be very clear here. We are not saying that there is design diversity, because the longer we're kind of researching the industry and playing journalists in this industry, the more we're seeing that the industry is selling like they're trying to sell model homes, not highly designed homes, right? Because that is individual taste. Vanilla sells, you need to spice it up with your own like toppings. Think of it as a sundae, okay? So we're not saying that design diversity exists. We're talking about price point. We're talking about size. We're talking about appointments, right? So it is about whether you want a $12,000 bunkhouse travel trailer or whether you want a $120,000 toy hauler fifth wheel with dishwasher and residential refrigerator. That's diversity. Not whether it has
price point
European finishing.
Something at $10,000, $12,000, yes. $14,000, $16,000, $18,000. All the price points are covered.
And every size is covered. Every size.
Right.
It's from the small, tiny, like
you're
we're saying,
a great
the tabs.
Point. I don't think we should expect that everyone's going to walk into an RV that suits their particular interior design taste.
I don't think that's a fair expectation. I think the longer people wait for that, the longer they're going to be disappointed. Be willing. If you have a strong design aesthetic, then you're going to have to put on your big girl pants and make it look like that.
In a sense, then, maybe the more vanilla, the better. No, Steph? I mean, just in terms of like, just make it so people can put their personal touches in.
I'm telling you, the more I think about this, the more RVs I'm in, the more I agree with that. I think that the trend towards very simple design in terms of like the couches, less upholstery around the windows, right? Get rid of that awful like upholstery, that awful backsplash stuff. Strip all that down, because that's the stuff that people don't like. Let people do their own. Let people put up their own curtains if they want curtains.
Because number three, RV owners are dreamers.
Yes, they
are. And, you know, we spend 5 days at this show and we spend days at all the other shows and we spend a lot of time talking to people on social media. I love RV owners.
Yeah.
It's a certain type of person that's drawn to this very adventurous, travel-centric lifestyle. They're fun people to be around.
They're always talking about where they're taking their rigs. I love that. If you're sitting around with a bunch of RVers like we were, we had lunch a couple days with our podcast listeners and everybody or the people that we would meet, that one of the first things they'd tell us was where they went. Right? Where they're camping.
And where they're going in 2017.
And what their plans are for the next year. And I love that. I love that, like, you know, we can get so bogged down with the humdrum nature of life. We met another podcast listener, and I can't remember his name. At the time, my three crazy kids were running around, and they were really distracting me. So I just can't pinpoint his name. But it was a gentleman from South Carolina.
Oh, such a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he was dreaming about how he was going to take his RV journey onto the road full time one day. You know, and I just feel like that's this natural quality.
It's this very American optimism that's in a sense really, you know, part of who we are as a people. And I love that about
yeah,
RV
so
culture.
We heard so many of those plans, you know, from Leilani talking about 14 years from now when she retires, what her plan was, to this gentleman saying, you know, like he was really searching for an option that would allow him to be on the road full time. Like, we just heard these dreams. Everybody yeah, thinks I mean, about what's around the corner. I love that.
Over on the Cranky RVer podcast, he's going to be interviewing the people that are hunkered down on their seasonal sites with their 42 feet satellite dishes.
But, you know, go ahead, take your trailer
the
out there.
RVer,
you can't get cable.
Even in his heart, he's an optimist and a dreamer, right?
Yeah.
He just protects himself with that coat of crank.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell yourself.
So I love
that.
Being around those dreamers. That's part of the fun of being at the Florida RV Super Show.
All right. Number four.
Number four. The RV lifestyle leads to many mini communities. And that's really come to life for us at the Florida RV Super Show. And why is that the case, Stephanie?
So we really got to explore the on-site camping this time. We stayed, ready, drum roll people, we stayed in a Class A rig that was there on the fairgrounds, along with hundreds of other people that were doing the same thing.
And there's dozens of mini rallies going on.
Yeah.
There's a Newmar rally. There's a lot of rallies based around the manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And those people get to know each other and become friends.
They do. And then there's also like the Family Motor Coach Association has a rally. And then the Super Show has its own rally. And this is really a community. These people care about each other and they like each other.
And our community was there.
Yeah.
You know, so there are these subcultures. And then there's also all these people who have met on social media that meet up there, right? I mean, there's a lot of Instagrammers who go to the Florida RV Super Show to meet other people they've been following.
Oh, yeah.
Years.
And the messages are flying between people, right? Like, oh, where are you going to be? Are you here yet? Oh, we're driving in. And these are people that have never met together but feel, you know, this is like almost like a lightning rod, right? It's this location. It's this event. And people come in from all over the place and they get to meet up. And I don't know. I really enjoyed seeing that for 2 years in a row.
And it's like the mafia.
No, it's not.
Once you're in, you can't ever get out.
All right, whatever.
I don't know many people that give up RVing.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, but we wouldn't, would we? Because they wouldn't be in the RV culture anymore.
No, I just don't know many people who buy one and are like, oh, that was boring. You know, I don't want that. I don't want to be part of that. I mean, for most people, it just becomes such a major part of your lives. Okay. Number five, RV owners like to build traditions, whether those are travel traditions. For a lot of people, going to the Super Show is a tradition, and they've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, we talked to a couple who have been doing this, I think they said, for 5 years now. And they said they just make it a part of their summer or their winter journey down the coast of Florida. It kind of hooks you, right? And you get into it and you're like, oh, well, we can't miss that.
We're going to do the Super Show and we're going to do a trip down the coast.
But I think the more that we see, you know, the more that we interact with RVers, the more that we see that this is the case, you know, RVers have that rhythm to their year, you know, to their travels. And they may go to new places, but then they also love to return to their old ones. And it is sort of that draw to the rally, right? To the community,
it's like coming
to the
home.
Group.
It's like
it
coming
is.
Home.
It is. And that's another thing that we're going to talk about with Lazy Days, I think. we toured Lazy Days, and we're after touring, we're like, we have to do a whole episode of this, because there is that aspect to Lazy Days too. They're tapping into that in a way that not a lot of
creating a home base for their customers.
Right. Yeah. So like people, I could imagine if you bought an RV from Lazy Days, you'd be like, you'd want to go back home.
I'm going to go back once a year. Well, yeah. We're going to talk a lot more about that. Number six, RV owners are more educated than ever. The number of times during the Super Show when I heard a consumer talking to a salesperson and getting frustrated because they knew a lot more about the RV than the salesperson was maybe a dozen times.
Yes.
And it just struck me, these RV shoppers are really incredibly educated about the brands they're looking into, and they've been on forums and they have all the right questions, and they're stumping the salespeople. So, which is, I think that's great. It's a positive. I think salespeople need to step up. Needs to step up.
Right. And so the dealers are going to have to take responsibility for making the salespeople step up on this, because there is just too much information available out there. RV owners, we probably should have added this one, can be obsessive compulsive about information and research, right? It kind of goes hand in hand with it. So we know this, and you know, they're on YouTube. They're listening to our podcast. They're on the forums.
You know who you are.
And they're
I can picture
gathering
faces right now of our listeners.
Yeah, and they're gathering all this information, and then they're going shopping. And they don't like it. Look, this happened with you the other day. You had a piece of information about something that you're looking at, and you asked the salesperson about it, and they gave you the wrong answer, and you were mad.
Well, they were really wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they were really way off. I mean, I wanted an answer to be very precise, because I had a range that I knew was true, and that person was so far off on their answer. And then it happened a second time.
Yeah. So you're and right. And this is, I think, that is, you know, a micro like snapshot of what is happening at these RV shows. These dealers need to say, hey, training is important. My salespeople have to be on YouTube looking at these walkthroughs of all these things.
Look, sales is a tough job, and I have a lot of sympathy and support for people that sell. Somebody's got to do it. But, you know, there are definitely quiet times, too, when the sales aren't happening, and that should be time to be educating yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another thing you want to educate yourself about is the region around the Florida RV Super Show. This is at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. No, like, just such an awesome place to spend a little time in January. And in our second year, we've fully embraced how awesome this area is as an RV destination in and of itself.
Yeah, the Tampa St. Pete, the combo of the two. Tampa's a great city.
Mm-hmm.
And
St.
Pete's is just an awesome beach area. You know, so it's quite a powerful combination for some great travel experiences.
So we met Courtney Parrish last year before we even went to the Florida Super Show for the first time, because she works with the Florida RV Trade Association, and she was helping us, you know, arrange our trip and everything. So we kind of connected with her that way. But then we found out that she is a Florida St. Pete native. Her entire life, she's grown up in that area. And then after school, everything, she went back. She loves it there.
And she's like a maven. I mean, she knows the area inside
everything.
And out. And she has good taste in her picks.
Right. So this year, we really wanted to emphasize that this show is a great opportunity to also just have a great RV trip.
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to sell everyone on, because we just believe it to our bones, is that this is a great place to plan a week's vacation with the Super Show as part of your vacation. And then Tampa, St. Pete, or in the other direction, Disney, like we did as part of that vacation.
So we invited Courtney on to give us all of her tips. I have a really great interview with her coming up. We're going to listen to her inside scoop. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. You can get the perfect amount of coverage wherever you roam around the United States with packages available for seasonal use and for full timers. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info. And now, let's listen to our interview with Courtney Parrish. So welcome to the show, Courtney. I am so excited that you've agreed to come on and to tell all of our listeners who are now planning their future trip to the Florida RV Super Show all the other things that they can do besides attend this fabulous show that we love coming to every year now. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm always happy to talk about this area.
I know, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because the very first time I met you last year, you were giving me local recommendations, I think within 10 minutes
of having met you. We were standing in line for something, and you said, well, what else do you plan on doing in the area? And I was like, well, I don't know. I hadn't really looked yet. And boom, 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 boom. You just started listing them all. So obviously you really do have, like, a very deep attachment to this area. So why don't you tell our listeners just briefly, like, a little bit about your experience around here, growing up here and everything.
Well, I was born and raised in Tampa, and I went to college at USF St. Pete, so I could kind of have the best of both cities. And honestly, this area is just a great part of Florida because it's not really what you think of when you come to Florida. It has its own unique culture just because of all the people who've come and who've settled here. And it's got a great climate because, hello, it's Florida.
I know. It's January and we're sitting out at a picnic table in short sleeves. We're living life right now.
Exactly. So Tampa, St. Pete, you're like, you're an hour from the beach, but then you have this great art culture and there's so many small businesses. And now Tampa, Seminole Heights area, there's this great culinary scene that's taking off. So there's just so much going on here for people to see and do and experience.
So what we've learned from being here now, this is our second year, and we were actually just talking to some people that were camping next to us this morning, and they said that they've been coming here every year for 5 years, and they make it a part of their winter, like, route, RV route, right? They plan out their trip. And the more we talk to people, the more we realize that's true. That when they're coming to the Super Show, they're also soaking up, like, a lot of other surrounding area regional activities. So we want to go to the expert, which clearly is the person who's born and raised here in Florida, because the joke is that there's not a lot of those around. Do you think that's true?
Really?
No. You know a lot of people born and raised here?
Yes, I do.
So every time somebody has introduced themselves to me, who's like a native Floridian, they're always like, yes, I'm one of the few people that was actually born here. I guess they feel like everybody else, like, flies in and takes over their local region.
Okay, that does happen.
Yes, that does. Because of this weather. All right, so let's start with Tampa itself, okay. Right? What should we do in Tampa when we're visiting for the Florida RV Super Show? What else are we going to have to see in the area?
Okay, for things to see, I'd say definitely stay throughout the week, because usually the RV show season falls either between Gasparilla parades or before the Gasparilla season. And for those of you listeners who don't know,
tell us about it.
Gasparilla is this huge, huge tradition here in Tampa. The whole city gets invaded by pirates, and this parade goes down Bayshore Boulevard, which is one of their biggest streets, and basically everyone shuts down shop just to come out and party together. And it is a ton of fun.
So is it like Tampa's version of Mardi Gras?
Yes.
Yes, okay. You don't want to compare it to that. It's different.
It's different, but it's basically Tampa's version of Mardi Gras.
Okay, all right. So tell us a little more about these pirates and what they do.
The pirates come in, they invade the city, and they take the key from the mayor. And then from there, we have a boat parade. And they have the big pirate ship that they sail down the bay, and all these boats come in behind them. People with their motorboats, sailboats, they just follow. And there's a lot of camaraderie and festivities going on, and a lot of beads.
Okay.
Everyone's fighting for the beads. So once the pirates land, they get on their floats and walk through the city. And you see floats for everything. My dad, personally, is in the Cruz Santiago.
All right, which tell everybody about the crews.
Okay, there's right. Different crews. And different crews have different themes. Some are co-ed crews, some are male, female. You got pirates, knights, mermaids, Greek gods, I mean, what have you. And they're basically like fraternities or sororities for adults.
Right. Like the Elks Lodge they have in different places.
Exactly.
Or things like that. Okay. So your father is in the Santiago crew?
Yes.
All right. What's their personality? What's their theme?
Their theme, they're the Knights of St. James.
Okay.
And it's a Hispanic crew. And so once a year, when you join the crew, you start off as a squire. And then through community service and volunteer work, you work your way up to a knight, which is what my dad is now. And it is so much fun. Each year, we do a coronation ball, and then they do the parades. Actually, Santiago hosts the night parade, which is in February. And once a year, I see my dad basically in sequins and velvet parading down the street.
Is that the highlight of your year?
It really is.
So he's in the parade. Now, you've never been in the parade before. Are you in a crew?
I have. Okay, you have. I'm not in a crew yet, but I was La Reina 36 de Santiago. I was the 36th Queen of Santiago one year.
Wow, we're speaking to royalty. Who knows?
Former royalty, yes. It was honestly one of the best years of my life. It was so much fun.
So this really is an event that people should kind of look to coordinate, like, and look to see how they can experience this while they're also visiting the Super Show.
Definitely coordinate and look to see how you can experience it. Look into Uber and stuff. Just because it gets crazy out there on the roads.
Okay, good tip.
And have a game plan. Make sure you bring lots of water, good walking shoes, stuff like that, just to make sure you stay hydrated. Yeah, if you search Gasparilla Tampa, it'll come up.
It's going to come up right up there. All right, so what else should people do in this area?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so if you are traveling with your family, definitely check out MOSI. It's the Museum of Science and Industry. My favorite place to go as a kid. They just have these really fun interactive exhibits about just the human body. They have one for, you know, learning weather. The bodies exhibit, when it came to Tampa, mm-hmm. it was there. And they also have this huge IMAX dome that's really fun to see movies. And they'll do, you know, nature documentaries, science documentaries, but then they'll also, you could see Rogue One there if you want to catch the latest Star Wars movie.
So you can be very intelligent about the whole thing, or you can just be totally pop culture. Both work. All right, good. Depending on your mood.
Yeah. And then there's also Busch Gardens.
Right.
So if you're into roller coasters.
Is it worth it, a visit to Busch Gardens? What do you think? Give us the inside details on that.
If you like roller coasters, Busch Gardens is worth it.
Okay.
If you do not like roller coasters, do not bother.
Okay.
They do have some animals, so it's cool for that. But it's primarily a roller coaster kind of theme park.
All right, good. Got it. And so if you have the little ones, it's not going to be worth the ticket price or the entry.
No.
Maybe. All right. Anything else that we have to check out in Tampa?
Near Busch Gardens is the Yuengling Brewery. That's always fun for a good tour. There's the Tampa Fine Arts Museum. I'm trying to think. Honestly, right now my brain's going across the bridge to St. Pete.
Yeah, so, well, you know what? Let's go to St. Pete then. Tell us. So go to St. Pete. You love St. Pete. You told me that right away, that we had to check that out. So what are we going to do when we're there?
I absolutely love St. Pete. They have a huge arts culture. Mm-hmm. The Salvador Dali Museum is in St. Pete and is the biggest collection of Salvador Dali's works outside of Spain. And they just built, like within the last few years, this whole new museum to house his works. And it is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So I'd definitely go check that out. I know this week's in particular, they're doing a Frida Kahlo's exhibit there.
Okay.
So you get to learn about her relationship with Dali and then her art, which is awesome. And but then there's also the Chihuly collection and the Marine Arts Center there that has like a glass blowing studio, a clay studio, so you can actually go and get some glass blowing lessons.
Oh, wow.
Or if you do clay, I'd say, you know, make sure you're in town for a while because they have to fire it
right.
and stuff, but it is just a lot of fun.
Now, you went to college mm-hmm. in St. Pete, right? So does it have that fun college town kind of feel to it with the nightlife? Or,
you know, St. Pete and Tampa both kind of complement each other with the nightlife. St. Pete has First Friday. And once a month, they shut down the streets.
The bars open up.
They play music in the streets. And everyone just goes around drinking. St. Pete is a really kind of has a smaller feel than Tampa does.
Okay.
I know it's like, it's got this young kind of startup entrepreneurial energy, and you can walk down the street or, you know, be sitting in a bar, talk to your neighbor, and next thing you know, you've made a friend and a good connection. Like, it's just a great city in that way. Every Saturday is a Saturday morning market, and the whole city comes out for the market. It's a lot of fun. You got a lot of local artists there, food, produce, and it's kind of a huge social gathering for the whole town.
Right. Now, RVers really tend to like to get the feel for a place, right? Like to not just go to the tourist attractions, but to get that local cultural feel. And it sounds like these are the kind of places where you're going to get it, like the First Friday or the Saturday Market. Like you're going to see the people who live and work in this area come out and enjoy the things that they love about their area. So those are good tips. Now, food. I know that you like food. You've given me a lot of good food recommendations while we're here, but let's go through some of your favorites.
Okay, in Tampa, you really can't go wrong in Seminole Heights area. There's Ichikoro, which is a ramen place, and it's probably the most authentic ramen you will find outside of Japan.
Okay.
At least in this area. Then there's Rooster in the Till, which is Moroccan. It's like small shareable plates. Oh my God, it's so good. There's also, let me think. Oh, Green Lemon, which is like this Mexican but kind of fusion place. They have some really healthy options like quinoa bowls and stuff that are really good. Highly recommend getting a margarita.
Yes,
there,
ma'am.
Because they are phenomenal. I know.
If so you say good. So, Courtney. If you twist our arm.
We have Burns Steakhouse, and Burns is a Tampa institution.
Okay.
You kind of, if you're here and you feel like splurging for a night, you gotta go. They have great dry-aged steaks. That's what they're known for. They're known for the dessert room, which is gorgeous. I highly recommend the macadamia nut ice cream. They spent years perfecting that recipe, and it is phenomenal.
Okay.
They also are world-renowned for their wine collection. If you're a wino, definitely do the tour of their wine cellar. They have bottles there from, like, Civil War period.
So anybody can tour the wine cellar.
Oh, yeah.
They'll take you through. Yeah.
They'll take you on a tour of the wine cellar, their kitchens, the dessert room. Hyde Park area, too. There's En Swan, which is great for brunch. And Sundays, they do another farmer's market that's really good. And all the locals come out
really?
To there as
okay.
well.
Yeah. And really, and at the farmer's market, there's lots of, local produce and handcrafted goods and that kind of a thing?
Oh, yeah. Local produce, you get a lot of local artisans. Mm-hmm. There's this one root beer stand that if you can find it and get there before they run out, I highly recommend trying it.
Okay, root beer. Must be popular if it runs out every week, all right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I don't know if you're going to remember, but I remember last year your dad showed up at the show with sandwiches. And you were thrilled. Wherever these sandwiches came from, you were like, oh my gosh, yay, my dad brought me the best sandwich. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what this sandwich shop was?
You were talking about ricottas.
Okay.
So Tampa has a huge Cuban population, and every restaurant in Tampa claims to have the best Cuban sandwich.
Right.
They do not. Ricottas, however, is the best Cuban sandwich you will get in Tampa.
All right.
You got to go there if you want a Cuban sandwich.
Well, and I love the idea. We always love to like pick up sandwiches, something like that, if we're going to go to the beach or just hang out. Now, our family, we definitely wanted to get, it's the middle of winter up north where we live. We're down here. It's beautiful. We have to put our feet in the water. You know, we have to get in the sand kind of a thing. So where should we go to do that? We were planning on going to Clearwater. You said it's a little touristy, but good for the beach.
Yeah, Clearwater is a little touristy, but if you want to do stuff like rent jet skis, go parasailing, stuff like that, that's all going to be in the Clearwater area.
Okay.
It does get pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend, actually my favorite beach in the area is Fort DeSoto. It's a state park, so there is an entrance fee, but it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's really one of the unique spots in Florida where you still see, it's the beach meets pine trees, like there's so many different ecosystems there. You really get a better sense for how Florida used to look before it was so developed.
Okay. All right. So Fort DeSoto is your go-to spot
for
that. All right. Well, then that's where we're going, Courtney, because I listen to locals' recommendations.
And if you have dogs, Fort DeSoto has the best dog beach.
Okay.
Because they don't just put you on some, plot of land that's
brackish, like dirty water.
Yeah. Brackish, not even a beach, but they call it a beach.
Yeah.
No, it's an actual beach that you can enjoy with your dog. And your dog's allowed to be off the leash there.
Okay. All right. So anything else that you have to squeeze in before we wrap up? Because you gave us a lot.
I know I did. Okay. Well, if you're in St. Pete, I do have a few restaurants that I wanted to do a shout out for. Brick and Mortar is phenomenal. get the lavender panna cotta. Everything's good there, but the lavender panna cotta for dessert, oh my God.
Sends you to another place.
It does. It really does.
Her eyes rolled. You can't see it on tape, but her eyes rolled in the back of her head.
And then Farm Table is another good place to eat if you're over there.
All right, and I'm assuming that Farm Table has a lot of, like, locally sourced ingredients and has, like, a local feel to it and fresh food and everything.
It definitely does. And there's also some really good vintage shops in St. Pete, too. Art Pool Gallery's great, and Haslam's Books. If you're a bookworm, go there because they have a great collection of just vintage books and then new books too.
All right. So I think that a lot of people do not picture sort of shopping, art, and food when they think about visiting Florida for a Florida vacation. But I think that you just are really communicating that that is the culture, that's the personality of this Tampa, St. Pete area that you love so much, that it has that feel to it, that more that like culture, right? Of
it really does. I mean, this area is always changing, but we're really getting a young entrepreneurial energy to the area, and our arts districts are popping up, our food scene's taking off, we're always having new breweries, restaurants open up. I mean, Tampa St. Pete is where to be right now.
All right. And we're here.
Yeah. You're in the right spot.
We are in the right spot. We listened and we came, and we really hope that all of our other listeners join us here in the future. There's really no better way to spend a long weekend in January. I'm totally hooked. So I hope I'll see you next year, and I hope I see a lot of our listeners here next year too. Thanks for coming on the show, Courtney.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Let's go. Let's go enjoy Fort DeSoto. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 127 of RVFTA. Greetings from the 2017 Florida RV Super Show. And doing this show has become a tradition for us because it's our second one. And I can't wait till next year. And I'm thinking about booking a certain special campground already that's kind of near there. Big thank you to our sponsors, to the Thetford Corporation, to Jayco, and to Campgrounds of America.
And also thank you to Progressive. Adding an RV policy to another policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV to learn more. And thank you to the Florida RV Trade Association. I have to say, for just putting on a great RV show, I have to say that I truly tip my hat to this trade association. I think they're doing a fantastic job down there. I think that they're really serving the dealers well and just putting on these great shows that offer great shopping opportunities.
And they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is what they do right is that they realize that the RV lifestyle is about fun. It's about incredible fun, and so they make their shows incredible fun. So we will see you at the Super Show.
See you at the Super Show.